Welcome back into the Badger Extra podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by our columnist, Jim Polzin. We're going to be going through our week 11 Big Ten picks. Kind of crazy we were already here, Jim, middle of November. Everything's still kind of up in here on the west side of the Big Ten that we'll be talking quite a bit about as we get going. The east is pretty clear, and it's going to get more clear after this weekend. With a big matchup between Michigan and Penn State. But before we hit a break and get into our picks, I just want to put this on the record right now. Jim is smoking me this year, and I hope you're listening to him more than me.
Jinx incoming.
Well, I'm just saying, the record's not, like, crazy better. Like, you're 37, 34, and 4 on the year, and I'm 32, 39, and 4. So I'm 7 under, and you're 3 over. But that is that's a 10-game gap that I don't think I'm going to be able to make up here in the regular season. So I'm going to not quite cede the crown here, but
I was going to say, are you conceding?
I'm also not going to just wait for you to pick and then pick opposite to try to join or try to get ahead. So half a seed, I guess I'll say. So,
all right.
And I always forget to say our overall records and our picks this year until the end, which I know is not the best way to do it. So I wanted to get that out early on. So,
5-2 last week.
And yes, you were 5-2, and I was 2-5.
5-2 with 2 last minute touchdowns that went against me. Very close to a 7-0 week.
Yeah, you were, absolutely. So we will get into our week 11 picks. And like we mentioned, we got a big one on the east side of the Big Ten with Michigan, Penn State, and then obviously Wisconsin's fighting for bowl eligibility and to kind of get things turned around here in the late season, hosting Northwestern. So we'll talk about that as well. So we're going to have a quick break and be right back after this. All right, Jim, let's start off with the big matchup here in the Big Ten. Michigan is going to Penn State. Michigan is a 4-point favorite in Happy Valley. We are recording this at about 11 a.m. on Friday. Lots of talk swirling about what's going to happen with the next stage of this Michigan sign-stealing saga. Is Jim Harbaugh going to be on the plane in Happy Valley with his team? Is he going to get suspended? Who knows? We're recording about 11 o'clock on Friday. As far as we know right now, I mean, the game kicks off in 24 hours, right? So as far as we know right now, Jim Harbaugh is going to be coaching the Wolverines. All that said, I don't think it entirely matters. I think Michigan's talent-wise and the way that they're just playing, I don't know. I mean, it's not like Harbaugh calls plays either. They've already been through this year where he's not been on the sideline, so. Is it the best thing if you have a coach get pulled off the sideline within 24 hours of kickoff? Probably not, but I don't think it matters all that much. I'm going to still lay the 4 with Michigan. I just think that this team is top to bottom, the most complete and most talented team in the conference. And I think they're, you know, right there. As long as this fish can keep weathering this storm of this controversy, I think they're going to be right there in the playoffs. So I'm going to lay the 4 with Michigan in at Penn State.
As am I, and you're right. I mean, there's a potential for distraction, but I think the other way of looking at this is you have a team with a us-against-the-world mentality, and losing Jim Harbaugh to a suspension or whatever would just kind of galvanize that team potentially. So I'm going to go with Michigan. I think they are, from a talent standpoint, that much better than Penn State. And again, we'll go back to this. Penn State's record in big games under James Franklin is not good. So I just have no reason to think that's going to change on Saturday.
Yeah, and I wish I felt better about Drew Aller, Penn State's quarterback, that could make this game, because Michigan is not going to let them run up and down the field. That Michigan's defense is just too good up front, and their linebackers are just playing too well to just let the run game really take them out of a contest. So it's really going to come down to both quarterbacks. I've got a lot more faith in J.J. McCarthy to make big plays and make throws down the field when he needs to. He's been doing it all year. And, you know, I said a few weeks ago that, you know, if you look at Michigan stats, none of them are like crazy gaudy. Like they're getting close. The way that they keep putting up points. I mean, I think Blake Corum's up in the high teens, rushing touchdowns. And I know JJ McCarthy's right up there at the top for passing touchdowns too. So they just keep putting up points and keeping teams, you know, way down and just trying to jump it out on them. So, this Michigan team's pretty special, and it's one of those things in sports where it's like you feel bad maybe for the kids that weren't involved, but then, you know, their accomplishments are going to get marred by whatever happens with all this sign stealing stuff, which I don't know how you feel, Jim. I'm kind of over the day-to-day drama of like, oh, now this leak, oh, this happened. There's just a whole bunch of mudslinging and all this crap going on in the Big Ten. It's just like, can we just get to the punishment or whatever we're going to do? If it's not going to be anything and they just bring in radio helmets, whatever the result is, I'm ready for it.
I am too. Yeah, I'm done. And just, it's so tough. Like we were talking about this, I think last week or earlier this, maybe on our way down to Indiana. I kind of side with Michigan in this regard, that this is a big deal and I think it requires a full investigation. So to hand out some sort of punishment within the moment seems wrong. And yet I also understand the Penn States and the Ohio States of the world, like, hey, this team allegedly cheated and knows our signs, and we've had to change our way of doing things based on them doing something what we say is illegal, right? So I get both sides of it. I just think I think doing this to Michigan now, I probably lean towards not doing it unless you have absolute proof that they did this and that Jim Harbaugh knew about it.
Right.
Otherwise, I think it's probably going to be something that's figured out months from now, when by that time, let's face it, it's too late, because Michigan might already have a Big Ten championship, playoff berth, maybe even a national championship by that point. I want to ask you something. Does this scandal change the way you would vote in a Heisman situation, like for J.J. McCarthy? I mean, Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star wrote a column on that this week, and I love Doyle. And it's not something I had thought of. Like, I don't think it would change how I'd vote if McCarthy was in the running. But it's a good point. Like, this team and him in particular certainly have an advantage if this science stealing stuff is true. So how do you look at that?
You know, it's a good question, because I think, like you said, if it came out that what we have kind of seen the video evidence of, or what people are saying is happening, where the Connor Stallions was basically telling Harbaugh's coordinators, here's the defense, here's the offense that's coming, I think it would affect how I voted, because it's like you got an advantage that theoretically the other quarterback, receiver, whoever else is up for the Heisman that year didn't have. So I think if it was laid out and bare like that, where you just kind of saw, oh yeah, okay, they were the quarterback knew, or each time an offensive play was called for this quarterback, they had the advantage of knowing the defense that was coming. And yeah, I think it'd be kind of hard not to say, like, yeah, that affected this guy's performance and inflated it more than likely.
Yeah. It's not something I thought about, but something I will as we kind of get closer to that boat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens with Marvin Harrison, Heisman-wise, because he missed a little bit of time. Stats are right up there with the best receivers in the country. He's the best player I've seen all year in the team so far. So I think he's going to be a guy to watch out for in that sense as well. Let's jump over to Indiana going to Illinois. Obviously, the Hoosiers coming off the upset win at home over Wisconsin. Illinois was one of those last-minute touchdowns that Jim mentioned early on. They beat Minnesota on the road. Illinois is a 6.5-point favorite at home. And Jim, you and I are both on the Illini here. I just think Indiana is not good.
Yeah.
Wisconsin played worse. Indiana deserved to win that game. Illinois is fighting, trying to make a bowl game, and I don't think they're going to get caught kind of sleepwalking the first half like in Wisconsin was down in Indiana. So covering a touchdown here I don't think is too difficult a task, especially when the way that Illinois' defensive front is playing, I don't know how much Indiana is going to be able to do offensively. So I think covering a touchdown is not too bad.
Yeah, that's kind of was my rationale too. I'm taking Illinois. I feel like it's really hard to pick some of these games when you have two bad teams playing each other, right? Because I think what we've run into over and over this season is you don't trust anybody, almost anybody in this league, to perform on any given Saturday. It's like which team are we going to see? And some of the most obvious picks to me have gone the other way just because a team shows up that day and just doesn't play well because they're not very good. They're not very consistent. They have a bunch of warts all over their team. So, I thought about going with Indiana just because, hey, they're getting 6.5 points and that's way too many for a bad team, you know, to get at home even. But I'll stick with Illinois. I think they can win. I'll take this as a positive. I reached out to Brett Bielema this week for that sign stealing story, and he didn't return my call. So apparently that means he's moved on from that Wisconsin jersey incident, and he's focused on what's ahead.
Yes, locked in. Locked in a month later almost.
Yeah.
I will say this too for Illinois. Johnny Newton, their star defensive tackle, didn't play that first half against Michigan, or excuse me, against Minnesota, because of the targeting call that he got against Wisconsin. And the second half, Minnesota did not score a touchdown. Those are very related facts. The fact that they scored two in the first half without him and then none in the second. So I think him being out there the whole game is going to be a big factor against Indiana. Let's jump over to Maryland going to Nebraska. Maryland kind of in a free fall here, but they are still favored on the road at Nebraska. They're a 2-point favorite. I was very surprised by this line, Jim, and I'm probably going to slap the rat line of the week's label on this one, because Maryland hasn't looked good in 5 weeks, essentially. And not that Nebraska's looked any better. They're coming off a really disappointing loss at Michigan State last week. But I don't know. Nebraska, if they win this game, they have a bowl game for the first time since 2016. That's a huge deal for Matt Rhule and his team in their first year with a new coach. So I'm going to take the points with the home dog. And I know it's not a ton. It's only 2 points, but I'll take Nebraska. I like that defense. I like how they're playing up front in particular. And I don't have any faith that Maryland's going to play well down the stretch here. So I'll take the home dog against this Maryland team right now.
Yeah. Same here. This was strictly a pick against a road team that I just think has lost its will to play for anything. I just think this a promising season suddenly went the wrong direction, and I don't think Mike Locksley can get this team out of the tailspin. And you're right. I mean, technically Maryland has something to play for too, right? The winner of this game is bowl eligible. But I just think Nebraska is going to be locked in at home. And if Nebraska doesn't win this game, then all of a sudden, you know, you have to beat either Wisconsin or Iowa to get that sixth win. So I think that's even more reason for Nebraska to, you know, take this game seriously and play well enough. Again, like, we're talking about two bad teams, so it's tough, but I'll take the home team. Like you said, take the points for the home team.
It would really make me feel better about this pick if Nebraska could throw the ball.
Yeah.
The forward pass was a more legitimate option in this option or in this offense. And I like how Heinrich, however you say his first name, Harburg, their quarterback, just filled in last month or so. I like how he plays. He's a tough dude. He runs hard. He runs behind his pads and probably gets hit too often for Matt Rhule's liking. But he plays really hard. It's just when they ask him to just straight drop back, it's not very pretty. And that's probably in part because a bunch of their wide receivers are hurt and they got a lot of freshmen and redshirt freshmen running around up there at receiver. So that's a factor in there as well. We'll go over to Rutgers going to Iowa, the new record. 3 weeks in a row, Iowa setting the record for the lowest over-under in college football history. I believe, right as we're recording here, 28.5 in Iowa City. Iowa is a 1-point favorite at home against Rutgers. And this was a true coin flip to me, because Rutgers' defense plays well. They play really hard. Problem is their offense is about as bad as anybody else you're going to see in the Big Ten. They're one of the worst. They can't pass. Their running game is really deception and misdirection based, and that's Iowa's done a really good job for years and years not letting that stuff affect them as much. So I'm going to go with Iowa simply because it's in Iowa City. Something that's annoying like a blocked punt or a field goal is going to happen that Iowa wins this game. That they're going to be a dogfight the whole way, in my opinion, but I think Iowa ekes this one out and puts a stranglehold in the Big Ten West.
I agree. I wish there was a way of knowing which team was going to score first in this game, because I feel like that's your winner, right?
Yeah, but wait for the live bet.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. Like, if you make Deacon Hill play from behind, I think it just it makes a world of difference. So if Rutgers can go in there and get some early points on the board, I mean, clearly Vegas thinks they're the better team here, right?
Yeah. I think Vegas has finally factored in the Iowa offense, because Iowa was a 5-point favorite on the road last week at Northwestern. Northwestern's not a very good team either, but 5 points for this Iowa offense is, you know, two games apparently. They won that game 10-7 and took a 50-plus yard field goal to get to 10.
Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, so I'm taking Iowa. I don't feel great about it, but I'm taking Iowa. I'm double pick for you, bonus pick for you. I'm taking the under.
Yeah, why not?
Why wouldn't you? We talked about last week, like, that game went under and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Like, it was the lowest under ever, and it's like 30 close.
And a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, it's like, Iowa's defense isn't as good as maybe last year's or some of their, like, truly great ones. It's very, very good defense. They're not scoring at the rate that some of their, like, all-time defenses were. And I think it's because a lot of teams are just adjusting to the fact it's like, all right, let's play field position. Like, maybe you'll get us at Iowa, but, like, we're not going to take these chances and let the defense score. And we know that's how you're trying to win these games. So, and I will say this.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, Christian and his special teams overall have been solid. They're not going to kill you. And I think that's maybe a factor that maybe gives you a little help for Rutgers because they're not going to probably let up a punt return touchdown, something like that, that would swing the game in Iowa's direction.
I was going to say, I can see a scenario where Iowa loses this game, Wisconsin wins, and all of a sudden the path to a Big Ten West title is right back and, you know, there. It's just, it's crazy as it sounds. I mean, right? You can see that scenario.
Yeah, anything is possible with how this Iowa offense is operating right now. And I know they've got injuries, and I know they're as beat up as just about anybody you're going to find. But at the same time, like, they can't, they're not getting in the field goal range very often because they've got a great kicker. You know, like,
yeah,
if they could just get across the 50 more, they'd probably be in good shape. But you just, when you are this offensively challenged, it's hard to have a ton of confidence. But as we say this, as we both pick them to win this basically pick 'em game against Rutgers. Another 1-point spread here, kind of a surprising one to me. Minnesota is going down to Purdue. Purdue is a 1-point favorite. And we have finally hit our disagreements here, Jim. I'm picking the Gophers. I know they had a really disappointing loss last week, and it gave me a little bit of pause because I think Minnesota's had in trouble this year. They're not the best pass rushing team. They're a solid defense up front. They're not the best pass rushing team, and I think we've seen if you get Hudson Card running around, like, he'll try to make some plays, but he's not the great improviser. And I think when Minnesota has lost this year, it's been because the opposing quarterbacks just made some runaround type of play, kind of broken down type of plays. I don't think Purdue has what you need to have to win a game against a Minnesota team this year, which is needs a little bit more explosion. Like, Purdue's offense has been not very good overall outside of Card doing what he can, but you need an explosive offense or explosive plays, and then you need to be able to stop the run, and Purdue can't do that either. So I'm going to take Minnesota in the point, but I don't think it's not going to be an impressive win by Minnesota. I think it's they eke it out and then get back home.
Yeah, I'm going to take Purdue. I don't feel great about it. I just think it's going to be an ugly game, and I'm going to take the home team. I wonder if there's going to be a hangover effect with Minnesota. I mean, like, you beat Illinois at home last week, and all of a sudden you can realistically talk about winning the Big Ten West.
Yep.
But they lost that game, and now they're going on a road to a dreary, dreary place, and I wonder about how much energy that team's going to have. And so I'm going to go with the home team. But again, like, zero confidence in this game, really.
Yeah, I will say this, though. Like, so the Minnesota gets waxed by Michigan back in week 6. They have the bye week after that. And then they had a pretty solid win against Iowa. They're quote-unquote controversial, but the rule was adjudicated correctly. Like, Minnesota wins that game against Iowa. And then they took care of business against Michigan State. So, you know, not good teams. They're not good offenses. They played in those situations. You lose that kind of heartbreaker against Illinois. I guess it's like, as long as they don't get into a one possession game in the last second or last few minutes and have an offense out there, I think they're okay. Again, I don't feel great about it. I'll take the point, but yeah, this is pretty much every game in the Big Ten so far this week is bad team versus bad team, or at best flawed team. So it's kind of hard to, like you said earlier, it's kind of hard to know what to go with. We'll jump to Michigan State going to Ohio State. Ohio State is a 31.5-point favorite here. You know I love laying huge points with the Buckeyes. I've been doing it for 3 years. I'm not doing it this week.
Yeah, tell me why. I'm interested.
So my reasoning is this. Michigan State's bad. There's no question about it. Not playing well does not affect Ohio State whatsoever. there's no reason for them to have going full throttle until the Michigan game. You look at last week, they're down at halftime against Rutgers. And Rutgers' defense is pretty solid. Kyle McCord's not an elite quarterback. He's pretty good. He's not elite. I think, to me, Ryan Day is looking at this as, let's be healthy, get a little bit of flow, figure out what is working the best for our team, and then get to that Michigan game and be able to kind of throw everything at them. I don't think that they're interested as much right now in trying to blow out a Michigan State team. So their Ohio State's defense is really, really good. They're probably going to hold Michigan State under, 17-ish points. But I just think this offense is just not that pedal to the metal type of offense that we have come to know from Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. And I think that backdoors is definitely open in this one because they'll probably pull some starters quicker in a game like this. And I just think that 31.5 is too many. If it was under 30, I'd probably lay it. But I just think 30-ish could be, especially with some late touchdowns or late field goal, something in that range.
That's perfectly reasonable. I mean, it makes total sense to me. I'm going to take Ohio State. The math here was, here's how I did the math. You say Michigan State be held under 17 points. I'm just not sure they're going to score at all.
Okay, that's fair.
And so I'm looking at a 35-0 at the very worst. And that's, again, that amount of points gives me great pause. But I just think the talent level between these two teams is so big that I'm going to take Ohio State. But I agree, you make a lot of sense. There's no reason for Ohio State to risk anything, and winning 42-0 or whatever doesn't really do much for them from a, college football standings, playoff standings, blah, blah, blah. So I get it. I think that's sound judgment on your part, but I'm gonna go with talent in this game. That's essentially what I'm playing here.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Ohio State's killed me on some of these big spots so far this year, so I'm trying to finally go the other way. All right, last one, another one that people are probably most interested in: Northwestern coming to Madison to play the Badgers. Wisconsin's a 10.5-point favorite at home. Why? That's my problem. So last week they're 8.5 against Indiana. They come out sleepwalking. They get beat, right? Is Northwestern that much better or worse? Or should be Northwestern that much worse than Indiana? I think they've been playing tougher, and I like their defensive talent a lot better than Indiana's. 10.5 is far too many points. Unless Vegas knows Braylon Allen's playing, or Tanner Mordecai's playing, or both of them are playing, probably in my mind, that would be the only way that I would lay 10.5 if both those guys are in there. I'm taking Northwestern, and I think this is going to be another just dogfight, ugly game that Wisconsin is going to have multiple mistakes that they shouldn't be making, and they're going to have multiple possessions where it's like, oh, there was a golden chance to score and they didn't. And I think the Northwestern's in there until the very end.
I hate when you go first and make good points. I get every one of these, I wanted to change my pick. I'm going to Wisconsin, and I don't know why. If you look at my notebook, Colton, I initially have a check mark next to Northwestern. And for some reason, I changed my mind to Wisconsin. I think I'm counting on a final stand, some sort of stand being made by this team where they don't make the mental mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. The defense plays really good. The special teams contributes in some manner. And I really am counting on Tanner Mordecai playing. We watched him throw the ball in warmups last week, and it looked pretty normal. So I think another week, this is a big game, knowing what's coming ahead. I'm just going to assume he's going to start this week. And I'm going to assume that does something for this offense that at least gets them to 21 points. So a 21-7 or a 20-7, something like that, which covers, and it'll be a nail biter the entire way. But again, I hate listening to you and hearing you make all these points that are just have me nodding my head.
And so I'm going to add to your Mordecai suspicion here. They did not post any type of wired or mic'd up or any type of practice video this week, which they almost always do. The Badger social media team. I think that was in part because I don't think they wanted to tip their hand that number 8 might be back there slinging it right now.
Sure.
The thing that to me swings this vote, if they're the first half turnover, if this defense creates a turnover early on, I'm probably going to look like an idiot. because I think Northwestern is one of those teams right now that if you get up on them early and you don't let them have a whole lot of life, they'll roll over. But I just, it's hard for me from what we've seen since basically that fourth quarter against Illinois to have any belief that this team can do that. Like the last, I mean, Ohio State's one thing where the defense does whatever they can. And then, you know, basically after the tie game in the third quarter, they got shut down. And then the Indiana game was just, to me, very discouraging about where this team's at mentally and what this team's at. It's like, you can't, Luke Fickle's talked about this, so I'm not trying to sound like him, but like, they get so, like, they mirror where they're at so hard. Like, the sellout crowd against Ohio State, great atmosphere, great energy. Then you go down to Indiana, there's a couple thousand people in the stands at kickoff, maybe. And then you play like that. It's like, you can't be that dictated by your environment. And I think that's what this team is. It's going to be cold tomorrow. It's hunting season, correct? Is that this week?
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, I just can't. Northwestern, we know, doesn't travel.
Right.
So I just think that this is not going to be the most hyped up Camp Randall Stadium we've ever seen. And I think this game starts slow and Northwestern gets some belief and hangs in there.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, that's makes sense because Wisconsin has traditionally started slow, right? That's been a season long problem for you. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, but something you said kind of got me thinking. Luke Fickle after the game last Saturday in Bloomington basically admitted that he laid into his team.
Mm-hmm.
But in his next breath said, I know they've been through a lot the last couple of years, right? Basically referring to, hey, I'm their third coach in 12 months. And you and I had a long drive back on Sunday, and I thought you said some stuff that was interesting. Like, what do you think about that comment in general?
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, it's been a year. What does past issues have to do with coming out flat against Indiana?
Yeah.
The worst roster in the Big Ten, and they hadn't beaten a Power 5 team yet. Like, I understand what Luke Fickle is trying to say. It's like, I think he's sympathetic to the fact that these guys have not had the college careers that they expected coming to Wisconsin. I think that's pretty fair for most of the guys that are on the roster right now. But to me, that doesn't absolve playing flat and making the mistakes that they keep making and keep costing them these close games, especially against a team that on paper you're a lot better than. So
here's my follow-up to that. Do you think that he laid into him? Well, he obviously laid into him. But then as he was telling us he laid into him, he regretted telling us he laid into him, and that there's not really, like, what he said in that locker room was what he said and what he meant. And he was, you know, embarrassed by that performance to some degree. But do you think it's one of those things where he all of a sudden in an answer, he says, I laid into them, and then catches himself and tries to make it sound better in some ways, just to, I don't know. Like, that was one thing I was thinking is like, hey, maybe this is me catching myself to some degree.
Yeah, it could be. And I think it's kind of tied to one of the other comments that he made where he's like, it's okay to be mad. Like, you can get, you know, ticked off a little bit more often. And I don't know. Like, I think they've got some fiery guys, but I think overall this team as a whole is kind of a more of a, like, some dudes too strong, but just kind of more laid back team. And, you know, Nick Herbig was emotional fire leader guy. Mm-hmm. You saw in 21, like, the defense fed off of him and his success. 22, he was having an even better season, but, you know, just defense wasn't quite as good. Team wasn't quite as good. I just think that they're missing a couple of those guys that will take that reign. And even a guy like Hunter Waller is having a great season, is, you know, your best player. He's a good leader, I think, but I don't think he's that guy that, like, is going to fire everybody else up.
Right.
And, you know, we know Braylon Allen's not that guy, even though he's not playing right now. He's just not the guy that's, even though he's the engine of your offense, he's not going to be your emotional leader in that way. So I think maybe that was connected to the fact, like, you know, he's laying into him, but he's probably trying to pull it back. Like, I can't be the one that gets you up. You know, it's got to be within the roster.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was an interesting discussion. Again, we had a long time to talk this past weekend in the cars.
All right, be on BetJerks.com all day for all of our, not only football coverage from this game against Northwestern, but obviously big game basketball Friday nights. The Tennessee game, so we'll have multiple things coming off of that. Volleyball's still trucking along, number two in the country, and then men's and women's hockey are both top. What would have to get? Five?
Three.
Okay, yeah, so top three teams in the country there. So lots of great stuff on BadgerExtra.com to get checked up on. make sure you're checking out Jim's column on the sign stealing and gamesmanship and all that, because it was really good. So check that out as well. We will be back next week with our Week 12 picks here in the Big Ten and with another podcast as well. So thank you guys very much for listening. We'll be back next week.